Today we're going to continue in our series we started last week called Overcoming Tough Times. Overcoming Tough Times. And we know today that all of us here are in three categories. We talked about it last week, and every one of us fit in one of these categories. Either you are going through a tough time right now, through a tough season in your life right now, or you just came out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. But all three of us really face those times in our life when we go through disappointments, when we had goals, we had visions, and we had promise, and things that were supposed to work out differently. When we wake up and things just aren't going as planned. And it's just not that the car's not working. It's just not that things just aren't right with the house being cleaned the way you want it to be. It goes beyond that. We're talking about where you're walking through and it feels like every day to hell has just broke loose in your heart and in your family, in your life. Things are happening. It feels like, man, I just cannot see my way out of it. My world seems so dark. My vision that was once so bright now has become dark, and I seem like I'm in a cave. I seem like I'm not getting anywhere. I once was very close to the Lord, and I felt His voice, and I could hear His voice, and I felt His presence so alive in my heart. Now, I'm like, God, are you even there? Anyone ever had those days? Yeah, we've all had those days when we feel like, God, are you even there? How do we make it through our tough season? And last week, we talked about standing through your toughest season, how we stand through our toughest season. If you missed that last week, you need to go online and hear that message at mydestinychurch.com. Listen to that, how to make it through your toughest season. That every one of us here are going to walk through tough seasons of life. And sometimes you go through a season that's the season of all seasons. You know what I'm talking about. It makes those tough seasons you thought were tough before seem like cakewalks, okay? And when you're going through, you're like, man, how am I ever going to survive this? Will I survive? Begin to question, will I ever see the light of day? Today I want to ask you this question as the title of our sermon. Is there a silver lining? Is there a silver lining? You know, when you're going through something, that people come up to you and try to quote things to you all the time. Don't you hate that? We talked about it last week. When you're really going through a tough season, when someone comes up, just throws out a cliche, they don't really know scripture, they just throw out something they got from a fortune cookie somewhere, you know. Well, the Bible says, you know, it's not even the Bible. The Bible says, he who is walking is not standing still. And you're like, go back and eat your fortune cookie. I mean, that's not the Bible. You know, and you want to just punch them instead of expecting what they had to receive because it's just not working. I mean, when you're really going through a tough season, you know, you really, those cliches really don't work. You're really wanting someone who just wants to listen to you and who wants to hold your hand through that tough season, who'll be a support through that tough season. And today, and you ever heard that question, well, this, hang on, there's always a silver lining to every dark cloud. You know, and to hear that, you think, yeah, I have never seen a silver lining. You ever gone through it? When you're going through a tough season, there is no silver lining, is it, man? You're like, man, it's just black. That cloud is black. It's dark, and I ain't seeing nothing silver coming out of that. So today we ask you this question. Is there really a silver lining? We're going to be talking about Job today. Job was one of the wealthiest men in the eastern country, and the Bible calls him one of the wealthiest of the wealthiest. The kings went to him for loans, okay? This guy was wealthy beyond measure. He was wealthy. He was the wealthiest man in his region, his side of the world. Man, he was there, and he had it all. He had as many cattle as you could think of. He had all the crops you could ever want. He had all the homes you could ever want. He had all the children you could ever handle. He had all these things, and his life was blessed, and people called him blessed, whatever he did. And today we're looking at Job's life. This is what Job 28, 1 through 3 says. This is what Job had to say. When Job lost everything, now Job was the most bland in the world, but we know that Job lost everything. And we're going to be talking about that. How did Job handle when he lost it all? I mean, he didn't just lose a little bit. His stock market didn't just crash. He lost everything. His relationships, all of his children, gone. All of his wealth, gone. All of his houses, gone. All of his cattle, dead. I mean, everything's gone. Everything is stripped from him, had been killed off. And then he gets leprosy, and on top of all of that. Let's see what Job had to say here. Job said this. Surely there is a vein for the silver. Is there a silver lining? No, there's not. But there is a vein of silver for those who hang on. And a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth, talking about the Lord, he setteth an end to darkness, and he searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. Now today, I love it today that we're going to talk about Job. I love the fact we're talking about Job today because he's such a man of example. He's such a man of example that we see here. Matter of fact, when it comes to Job, we see where God said this about Job. he called him. He said, my servant, Job. That's what God thought of him. When God was talking to Satan about Job, he said, my servant, Job. God loved Job. Let's look at this meeting between Satan and God talking about Job. In Job 1, 7 through 9. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Because the Lord was having a meeting, you know, the top angels, and Satan decided to show up. And so the Lord looks at Satan and says, Satan, from where did you come? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro. Now that does not mean a hairstyle, in case you guys who were stuck in the 70s are wondering what that means. To and fro means that he was just going here and there, man. He had nowhere to hang out. As we talked about last week, one part of Satan's curse of being kicked out of heaven was he had nowhere to be permanently planted. So now he roams the earth to and fro looking for those he can devour. Of course, we know in the end he will be permanently planted with what's called the lake of fire. But we know today that till that time there is nowhere that Satan can be planted, and so therefore he's going to and fro. He says, I'm going to and fro the earth and walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? But what an awesome testimony. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Now, how many would love to have the Lord talk to you about you that way? Anybody here would love the Lord say, hey, how about my servant John? How about my servant Amanda? How about my servant today? Anybody want to have him say your name today? Wouldn't that be awesome? How many today, really honestly, I would love the Lord to call me his servant? Yeah, that's awesome. But maybe when you hear the next part, you won't be so quick to hear about it. Because as we go on after this, we find out where Satan says, well, the only reason why he serves you that way is because he's so blessed. He's like the wealthiest man around. And so we see where God gives permission for Satan to be able to take away all of his wealth, to take away all of his relationships, destroyed everything he had, even struck leprosy on him. And we see this happening and to see to put Job to the test, to prove to Satan that his love is not just about his wealth. His love for God is just not about the things that he's blessed him with. But his love for God goes so deep that even stripping away everything he has, everything close to him, losing everything. I mean, he lost it all. It could not have gotten any worse for Job. I mean, the only good thing out of this was he was still breathing, if you even call it a blessing at this point. I don't call sitting around in a pile of ashes, picking at your scabs where leprosy's eating your body all over, and have lost all your children, and have lost all your homes a blessing. I mean, I'm sure he was thinking, God, just take me home now. God, just end this pain. So it couldn't have gotten any lower for Job. I mean, even the fact that God even made him survive through that was a punishment in itself. And the fact that he was still yet, he refused to turn his back on God. He refused to not stay planted in God. There was something about Job. And when Job said this verse, we said in verse 1 through 3, he said two things, and I want to concentrate on these two things today. When you're going through a tough season, today you realize this, that Job said two things. There's two things that we can hang on to. First of all, he said, surely there is a vein of silver. Surely there's a vein of silver. Silver is what? Silver is mined in the ground in the darkness. Scripture is even talking about it. It comes out of the cave. They mine silver out of the caves. They mine silver out of the dark places, out of the places it's tough to get to. You just can't go on a silver tree and pick away silver, is it? It's not that easy. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, and it's formed in the darkness. But surely, you know, those guys who are picking for silver, man, many times they don't find silver, but they're just hacking away, man. They're chipping away. They're working hard. They're drilling away just to find that one vein of silver. Because when they find that one vein of silver, they know that, man, they've struck it rich. They've struck it. They found it, and that it pays off. So all that hours and hours and days and years of drilling and finding nothing and having nothing to do but just pulling off hard rocks out of there and being in the cave, when you find that one vein of silver, man, it more than pays off for your trouble. It more than, so you're like, wow, we've hit it. It's the jackpot of all jackpots. And so, but we know the silver comes from within the darkness. It's formed from under the ground. What was Job saying when he said, surely there's a vein of silver? He was saying this, even though I'm in my darkest hour, I choose to refuse to stop swinging away. I'm going to swing the pick, man. I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to hang on to God because I know that if I do, that surely there is a vein of silver. Surely God's got something on the other side for me. Surely God's going to bring me through. Surely God has got a place of prosperity for me once again. Surely God's got a place of blessing for me once again. If I just hang on, surely there is a vein of silver. So is there a silver lining? No. But there is a vein of silver for every Christian who hangs on. There is a vein of silver for every person who refuses to give up. So you hang on. You don't throw in the towel. You keep picking away. And you, no matter how tough it gets, you say, even though I'm in a tough season, I refuse to stop swinging. I will find a vein of silver. We know the silver is very symbolic in Scripture. As we talked about in the series on I Love Your Word, I was teaching you about the Word of the Lord and how we study it. We know that in the Word of the Lord, that there are very many double meanings and how God was talking about things that many times are symbolic of other things in Scripture. And silver is one of these words that is symbolic in Scripture. We find a silver, first of all, it really represents in the Bible redemption. Redemption. Silver is symbolic of redemption in the Bible. So when you see the word silver being used by God and His commands and things happening, it also means redemption, has symbolic of the word redemption. So what was Job saying? Job was saying, even though I'm going through the darkness, I refuse to give up. There is a vein of silver. We find in the Bible, well, silver means redemption. We find it in Numbers chapter 10, the whole book of Numbers, where God told Moses how to create two trumpets made of silver. He said these trumpets are used for one. When you blow one trumpet, it's going to mean to gather the troops in, that you gather the armies in. When you blow one trumpet, this means to gather all the troops in. When you blow both trumpets, that means we're on the move. We're going somewhere. We're moving places. And so this is what would happen. They would blow the trumpets handcrafted out of silver that God had commanded them to do, and they would call the troops together. It's prepare for battle. It's prepare for war. Or they blow both trumpets, calling all the nation together and saying, all right, it's time to move. So surely there's a vein of silver. Sometimes in your life you're feeling stuck, and you got to hear that God is going to blow his trumpet to you. God's going to blow his trumpet. You say, you just hang on. It's time to gather the troops together. We're going to move from this place. You may feel like you're stuck in a place of darkness, but the call, the trumpet of silver is coming out saying you're going to move from one spot to the next. This place will not hang on forever. Matter of fact, it's in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says this, that what? It says that what God will send from heaven with a shout, with the sound of the trumpet, man. He's going to call us together. It was 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver that purchased our Lord to be crucified. It was 30 pieces of silver that purchased the redemption of mankind. 30 pieces of silver Jesus was sold to be sacrificed on the cross. There's something about silver in the Bible. When God gave the instructions for the building of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, he always said, lay the tabernacle on the foundation of silver first. Make the joints out of silver. The sockets were made out of silver. The joints were made out of silver. The foundation was laid in silver. Why is that? Because everything had to be laid upon redemption. See, because silver represents redemption in the Bible. Build a temple out of it. It's redemption. It may be dark, and you may be in a tough season right now, but hang on. Hang on. It may be dark, and you may be going through a time you feel like you're in the biggest cave of your life. You feel like you're in the darkest place of your life. But I say to you this, according to Luke 21, you know what it says? It says this. It says that when all these things are going on around us, when wars are happening and rumors of wars, when famines are going throughout the land, when things are just, stock markets are crashing, when you see where Israel is being surrounded and they're wanting to overtake it, and all these things, he begins to list all these things that are happening in our current events right now. He says this. He says, even though all those things are happening, he says, look up. But what your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption draws close. See, there's something about silver that God was wanting to communicate to us, that silver is symbolizing redemption. Our redemption draws near. I don't know today what the stock market holds. It goes up, it goes down. The house is going to change parties every 2 years, it seems like. It's just going to happen. It's going to be control. We're going to have Democrats control for a while, then we're going to have Republicans control for a while. But how many know that our hope is not based upon the House of Senate? Our hope is not based upon the House of Congress. Our house, listen, is built upon what? The rock of Jesus Christ. And for us, there still is a vein of silver no matter what happens. and that whatever God's saying in our life, I don't float with the economy. I float with what God is saying. Because when I honor the Lord, surely there's a vein of silver waiting for me if I just keep on. I keep standing. I keep standing firm. I don't give up. I do not put my hope in what CNN has to say. I don't put my hope in what Fox News has to say. I don't put my hope in what the front news of the paper has to say. I put my hope in what God has to say about my life. And God says, surely there is a vein of silver for my life. Surely I'm going to win if I stick it out. And so we got to get our eyes off the things of the world and say, God, yeah, it's okay that, you know, to watch the news and we to know what's happening in the economy, all that stuff. I'm not against any of that. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you want to watch your 401k. We're all curious about how it's going to go up and down, if it's even going to be there, you know. That's all. But my hope is in this, that truly there is a vein of silver still there, that God is going to put me through the dark hour. So we're going through one of the toughest times we've had as a nation. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference. Our God is still in control. And if we hang on and keep swinging the pick, surely there's a vein of silver waiting for us. Sometimes we begin to put too much trust in our own accomplishments. Sometimes we put too much trust in our own possessions. We put too much trust in our own wealth. We put too much trust in our own things, our own relationships. And sometimes God's got to do what it takes to get our attention, to get our lust off of things and get our focus back on Him. It's in those times of pain, of darkness, that we refocus and say, God, really, you know, none of those things really matter. Man, I tell you what, when you go through tough times, you realize, you know, all these things I have, they can come and they can go. There's times I have a lot, and there's times I don't have very much, and there's times I'm in the negative. It's like anybody, we all have those times, like, man, am I ever going to get out of this? But it doesn't matter, because you know what? My hope is not in that. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is not in what that happens. But sometimes God has to bring a crunch. It's one of those times when it's not there. I have to crunch it right. Am I budgeting right? God, am I doing the things you've asked me to do right? Do I need to refocus my priorities to make sure I'm not living above my means? Am I doing things right? And when you go through those hard times, you're like, you know what? These things are just things. They'll come and they'll go. You know what? That's all right. I'm going to be okay because my hope is not in. And God refocuses you through your pain and through your dark hour. God refocuses you upon the things that are most important in the world. And that's your relationship with Him. God, as long as I hang on to you, it's going to be all right. God, as long as my relationship with you is strong, it's going to be okay. My self-worth is not based upon my degree. My self-worth is based upon my relationship in you. My self-worth is not based upon what I drive. My self-worth is based upon my relationship in you. So sometimes God has to bring us into the dark time to refocus us, to get our attention back on the things that are right in life. If you'll just hold on through your toughest season, God will bring back the vein of silver in your life. The Bible says, He shall restore back to you what the devil has stolen. It says, He shall restore back to you. That's the promise we have, that the things that Satan has stolen out of our life, that God shall bring it back. If God has to shake us, though, and strip us to get our focus, so be it. It's what it takes. If God's got to strip every one of us down to get our focus and take us through a cave to get our focus, then so be it. Because that's what's the most important thing, is our focus upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, do I wish anybody to go through a tough time? No, we hate it. It's tragedy to go through some tough things. But when we do, if we allow God to bring us back into focus, God will bring redemption back to us. I'd rather see my family saved and redeemed and in love with God more than see them riding around in the best car, more than see them with the best gadgets in the world, more than see them wearing designer clothes, more than all those things in my life. I much rather know that my family is saved and has a love for God in their heart. That's the most important thing. So whatever it takes for God to refocus us, whatever it takes for God to say, hey, get your focus back. I mean, we do this with our own kids, don't we? I have one that's driving now, 17 is driving. I got others that are hoping to drive one day if they live that long. Got 5 kids, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we have rules around our house, you know, and we just these are the rules. This is what it is, you know. If you don't make good grades, I'll drive you to school. It don't make a difference if you're 18 or 17. If you go, driving's a privilege, and you will make good grades, keep your grades up to a proper place if you want to drive. If you want to walk around with that cell phone at 12 years old, then you will show respect to your father, or that cell phone will be in my pocket for 6 months. I don't care how much you paid for it. I don't care if your grandma bought it for you. It's going to be mine. Some things are just that way. Because why? I got a kid who makes straight A's, but man, he's so smart he doesn't even want to read and keep up with his AR goal at school. I mean, the simplest thing he can do is read his books. But he's so intelligent that he feels like he doesn't need that. So we have a rule. If you don't meet your AR goal, I'm not going to ask you every night, are you reading your books? That's too bad. You're either going to read your books or not. And if you do not meet your AR goal, the PlayStation 3 will be unplugged all semester for you. What? That's just the way it is. Why? Because I will do what it takes to get their focus back on the things that are important. I know they got to be responsible students if they're going to make it in life. I know they got to have a focus. They got to have a discipline. They got to have a responsibility. And my kids are spoiled just like your kids, okay? Don't be feeling sorry for any of my kids today. They're spoiled just like your kids are. And today, but I will do what it takes. I will apply pressure what it takes to get their focus back on the right track. Now think about this in God's terms. How much will God do to us sometimes to put the focus back that gets back on track? How much will God strip from us to say, God, that's really not about those things. It's about what's doing the right thing. It's about putting my priority in line. It's about putting my focus back, God, on what you are and what you are in my life and what's the most important thing in my life. It's getting my focus. God, so if I'm going through a tough season, I've got to stand strong. I've got to go through it and know that surely if I hang on, there will be a vein of silver. Surely if I hang on and keep swinging away, I'm going to find a vein of silver. Even though I'm going through a dark hour, redemption draws near. There is a vein of silver that brings redemption, but there is a vein that also brought redemption upon the cross of Calvary. It was Jesus. It was 30 pieces of silver that bought our Lord, but he willingly died. He willingly gave his life on the cross. And when his veins were pierced with that nails, and the blood flowed out of his body, it brought redemption to you and I. There is a vein of silver, and there is a vein of redemption for every one of us here today, no matter where you're at. So if you're suffering from addiction today, I got good news for you. There is a vein of redemption. There is a vein of deliverance. If you're suffering through darkness and sin today, I say there is a vein of forgiveness today. There's a vein from Calvary that brings redemption to every one of us who shall freely receive it. Surely there's a vein of silver. And there's a second thing he said today. I'm not going to spend as much time on the second point, so some of you guys take a deep breath. I only got 2 points. So you guys, you picked a great Sunday to come, guys. I only got 2 points today. They're smelling that food already back there. Yeah, they're ready to eat. Second, this is what Job said. He said he sets an end to darkness. He sets an end to darkness. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Do you realize when God, when the children of Israel went to be slaves to Egypt, to Pharaoh, that God prophesied and God told them that they would be slaves? He told them they were going to be captive for 400 years. What's that mean? That means that God knew that when they were going to go through the darkest season, that he already had a way out. God was already planning their escape. God already had Pharaoh in mind, and he knew that Pharaoh was going to need a son that was going to be a deliverer, and he was going to have to be adopted, and his name was going to be Moses. And so God had everything orchestrated out. What Satan thought he was doing to destroy, God was way ahead of him in the chess match. Satan had this big chess match laid out thinking he was going to destroy the lineage, and God had it all figured out already. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He spoke to his servants what to do, and Moses was, of course, floated down the river, hidden by his mom, taken to Pharaoh's court, grew up to be deliverer of the children of Israel. And God had already prophesied 400 years earlier that you're going to go through this for 400 years, but in 400 years, I shall send a deliverer. You shall be delivered. God told Daniel to fast. He said, Daniel, fast. There's a time of season that's coming to an end of Babylon's reign. God told him 70 years in advance that Babylon is going to hold you captive, but for 70 years, but after 70 years, God's going to break the captive. Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. Get this in your heart. Before they ever walked through the captive season, God had already put an end to that season. Before they ever walked through 400 years of being slaves, God had already put an end to that 400 years. Before they ever walked through 70 years of being held captive to Babylon, God had already set in motion an end to that 70 years. God, surely, he sets an end to the dark days. Before we ever went in, God set a motion out. Before God ever made a way in, God made a way out. Job, before he ever lost his first child, before he ever lost his first house, before he ever lost his first cattle, before he ever lost anything, God had already set a motion of a way out. God had already set a motion, a plan for double redemption. And everything Job lost as the wealthiest man in the world was restored to him double portion. He received twice as much of everything he ever lost. And before Satan ever had a chance to do anything in his life, God had already set a way out for Job. Some of you got to get that in your heart today. Before you ever walked through your darkest hour, God had already put a light at the end of that tunnel. Before God had ever allowed you to walk through your darkest hour, God knew that one day you would lift up your head again and see redemption coming to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't walking through this forever. We're going to get out. Because God has set an end to my dark hour. God has set an end to my darkness. And God is saying to us that before we ever go in, that's right, give God a hand clap. Man. Before Job had ever went in, God had already declared a double portion. Some of you need to speak that over your life. God, I know I'm going through, and I've lost a lot, but God, I know if I will hold on, surely there's a vein of silver. And God, you have set an end to darkness, and I'm going to receive double what I ever lost going through the cave. I'm going to receive double what I ever lost walking through the darkness. God has already set an end to my darkness. When I get through my season, I'm going to be blessed twice as much. So I'm in the cave. I know this one thing, that you are not alone. God said to this, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But you are not alone. Surely there is a vein of silver. So when you're walking through your darkest hour, it seems like, you know what? God, where are you? And sometimes God's saying, you know what? We just got to refocus some things in your life. Some of it God may have allowed. Other things maybe wasn't even God's plan, but he's going to hold your hand going through it. And if you will not give up, if you will hold your ground, and say, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to keep walking through my darkest hour. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm not going to buy Satan's lie that says, ah, that's not doing you no good. Look where you're at right now. No, I hang on and draw strength from my friends and family around me. And I draw strength from the Lord, knowing if I do not give up, I will see the end to my darkness. God's already declared it. He's already decreed it. Some of you today, you can't see that in your heart because you've been walking through such a dark hour. But I'm here today as your pastor to tell you this. God has already decreed the end to your darkness. And he's got the blessing waiting for those who do not give up. But when we go through the darkness, we've got to realize this, that there is a vein of silver. And you're not alone. You're not alone. The God is there. And even though you don't feel like he's right there walking beside you. And sometimes you don't even know. You've heard the poem of the footprints in the sand. It's like, God, man, I had two sets of footprints there, and then in my dream, I only had one set of footprints through that tough season of my life. Where were you? Why did you abandon me? And God said, I didn't abandon you. I just carried you. That's why you only see one set of footprints. It's the same thing in our life. We're going through that dark hour. Know that you're not alone. There's even times when God will carry you, and you don't even know you're being sustained. There's times God's carrying you through, and you don't even know that he's carrying you through. But he will not leave you. It's just a promise you can hang on to. Some of you have been abandoned by spouses. You've been abandoned by parents. People have let you down. But I tell you, God's word is very true. And he will not break his promise when he said he would never, ever, ever leave us or forsake us. We are not alone. I want you to listen to this song as we close today.
You're the light that guides me through the dark. You walk beside me, the night seems cold. Each time I fall, your arms are there to hold. You walk beside me, giving strength I've never known, and I am not alone. I talk to you, and all my fears unwind. I know I'm loved for who I am. You make me want to be the best that I can. You walk beside me, giving strength I've never known, and I am not alone. You walk beside me, and I am not alone. Wherever the road leads, and I rely on your patience when I face the unknown. And because of you, I am alone. I am not alone.
Today. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning where you're at. We can just say everybody bow their heads. I want to ask you some very personal questions today. Nobody's looking around but myself. And maybe you're here and say, Pastor Gene, as you're talking about the vein from Calvary, I realize today that my relationship with Jesus Christ is not where it needs to be. And I would like to today, I would like to make a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before, but today you're ready to make yourself a Christian and say, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready today. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago and you say, I haven't been nowhere near where I need to be with God. And today I want to come back and I just want to renew that commitment once again to God. Nobody's looking around but myself, and I'm going to give you an opportunity today. We're not going to embarrass you in any way, believe me. I just want to give you a chance today. If that's you, say, I'm ready to make that decision. Can you just raise your hand where you're at? No one's looking around at me and say, I'm ready to make that decision today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join me today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them and say, I'm ready today. Thank you. I'm ready to renew that relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm ready to ask him to be Lord of my life. Thanks. Appreciate that. Before we go any further today, I'm going to ask those who raise their hands, and then the rest of us are going to join you. We're going to say this prayer. So let's say this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my pain. I give it to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap, yeah. Those of you who prayed that prayer today, you meant it. You can stop by our information center here in the very back, and we got a free packet to give you. It's got a free Bible and some other things in there, what to do next to help you along. But I'm going to invite you all to stand today. How many today say, you know what? I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through my toughest season. Anybody here today want to raise your hands? That's me. I'm saying today, I'm going to make it through my toughest season. I know many of you are walking through tough times. Many of you are walking through some tough things. But I'm here to say, God is already setting the end to your tough season. God's already setting the end to your darkness. God's already called. He's already decreed it ahead of time. That man, he's got a double blessing waiting for you and I. Man, he's got a place of blessing that we can return to. We just hang on and don't give up. See yourself through. See yourself hanging on to what God, and you are not alone today. I'm going to pray over you today. If you feel comfortable doing this, I want you to raise your hands where you're at. It's a sign of surrender to the Lord. We just do it as a sign of surrender. If you don't, that's fine as well. But today we're going to say today, Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, as we lift our hands up to you as a sign of surrender to your lordship of our life. God, I just pray today that, Father, as we walk through these tough times in our life, that God, we're not going to give up. Lord, we're not going to throw in the towel. But God, we are fighters because you have given us a fighting spirit. If we'll tap into that, God, we know that we are not alone. That surely there's a vein of silver waiting. Is there a silver lining? No. But there's a vein of silver that's richer than any lining. God, it's the root that leads us to redemption. That you redeem back, Lord, the things that we lost. You redeem back the things the enemy stole in our life. And God, you're going to bring us out. And God, I pray today that, God, we have the faith, but not only the faith, that God, we have, Lord, the passion, Lord, the commitment, Lord, to walk through whatever we're going through in our life. That, God, you have already decreed that, God, we're going to come out ahead. You've already decreed, God, we are the head and we are not the tail. And Father, even though we're walking through a time of refocusing in, God, you're stripping away things in our life. I pray to God we refocus in on priorities once again. Refocusing in, God, on our love for you, that we forgive us for having a lust after things, and a lust for money, and a lust for relationships, and a lust for things, Lord, that we try to feel our self-worth with. And God, we know the only satisfaction that we'll ever get in life is when we give our life totally to you and refocus in upon you. And today, God, I pray that our hearts, Lord, are refocusing on you during our tough time, that we realize we are not alone, that you're walking through it with us, God. And whatever happens, Lord, we know that, God, you are going to carry us through if we do not give up. And God, you've already decreed it, God, that we will overcome, we shall be blessed, and we're going to come through it. And we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Thank you for coming. Turn around, shake your hand at somebody and say, man, I'm glad you were here today. You have a great week.